Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Kevin Drudge, manager of franchise development for the Valpak franchise opportunity. And Valpak is one of the nation's leading direct mail companies delivering coupons to more than 45 million households in the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. With combined products, including online savings portal Valpak.com, Cox Target Media, which owns and operates Valpak Delivers. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews. How's your day going today, my friend?
Okay, pretty good, Marty. How about yourself?
It's a nice day out there today, huh?
Hey, it's pretty miserable.
Typical December weather, you know, but it's, we're down to 14 days, right?
Yeah. Got the holidays. That's a nice time of the year. Year came on pretty quickly. My twins are all excited. They're counting down the days now to Christmas Day.
I can imagine.
You know, always a little stressed though. You got to get gifts. You're just doing more stuff.
Well, especially as they
get
older.
But it's
all set
that the holidays are nice.
Yeah, exactly. Well, did you get their picture yet with Santa?
Yeah, we went to this past weekend. We went to the township. Always has a tree lighting.
Oh, that's right.
Thing going on the weekend, and Santa comes, and they have a little band playing. A couple of my nieces were danced at a local school, and they were dancing. It was funny. It was like about 20 degrees out. It was freezing this past Sunday.
I can imagine. Oh, that's fantastic.
But they the kids are all excited. Got to see Santa. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. Well, our last show, Don, we met with Jody Owen of the Tensa 2 franchise opportunity, and I thought it was a very interesting concept. What were your thoughts on last week?
Yeah, she was, I thought it was a very good interview. She was obviously very passionate about the company. I think she mentioned they've only been franchising about 5 years, but have a good amount of units, a lot of room for growth. I think she said the staffing industry is about a $91 billion industry, and I thought it was very informing, very nice interview. I'm glad we had her on.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have some numbers here. It says America's workforce is changing as more and more people are looking for flexibility, and that part-time work provides, in 2006, the staffing industry generated, I think it's up to about $91 billion. 2.9 million people per day are employed by staffing companies. Over the next decade, the U.S. staffing industry will be one of the nation's fastest-growing industries. Entrepreneur recently put the staffing industry back in the hot 15 or hot top 10 franchise industries to look at. So, I think it's a fantastic industry. It's a nice niche too, isn't it, Don? I mean, it's, as I was listening to Jody speak, it's one of those shows where I said, damn, I wish I thought of that. It's just a lot of times it's like right in front of your face. You don't see it,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
It's my wife, Connie, I mean, she's in that situation, or she'll be in that situation. You know, we have the baby at home. She's a stay-at-home mom, but at some point, once the baby goes to preschool or, you know, kindergarten, I mean, she's going to probably look for something. It would be perfect to have something from 10 till 2, not necessarily those
right.
hours, but, you know.
Yeah.
It just and there's a big enough market out there for it, so
yeah,
just
filling
a great
a nice
idea.
Niche, and they're in what we feel is the franchise capital of the U.S. In Denver.
Denver, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just
yeah.
how many hot opportunities have come out of the Denver area. So just interesting.
And
so
she said that question on technology. She she said technology is everything for her
mm-hmm.
business, and I thought it was interesting with what type of characteristics she looks for in a new franchise. Yeah, I guess you know she mainly wanted people with entrepreneurial spirit. Thought that was more important, just passion for business than entrepreneurial spirit, as opposed to maybe experience.
Yeah, I like too how they don't want to grow too big too fast. You know, we've seen that in the past. You know, and again, there's nothing wrong with you know wanting to have you know 500 franchises over the course of 2 years. You know, but she's looking. It seems like they're more like slow growth. You know, they don't want to have that too big too
right.
fast. Philosophy, you know, so, you know, I kind of appreciated her her saying that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Fast growth is okay as long as you're, you know, you have a proper support system to support all those new franchisees, and obviously everyone's doing well.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean, this was interesting with the economy, too. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about the economy. You know, you say, you know, the doom and gloom of the economy, but this is really one of the industries, I think, where it's actually helping, isn't it, you know, where the economy
right.
isn't doing so well. And, you know, I think our guest today is probably going to, you know, say the same thing. You know, it's one of those franchise opportunities where, you know, where you're kind of like in a recession. It's a nice business,
right.
a nice service to provide to your customers, you know, and to consumers overall. So, yeah, no, absolutely.
Right, today having Valpak on, right, specializing in coupons. And we'll hear all about that company. But, yeah, I think you're right. At a time like this, I mean, like everybody uses coupons or, you know, mostly everybody, but I think people are, you know, might be checking their mail a little more closely during, you know, rougher times.
I think so. I mean, I know we are. You know, we got a Valpak package the other day, you know, 2 days ago by coincidence, you know, and I just, you know, went
right.
through it. And, you know, we always find great coupons in there, you know, and they're
right.
using technology as well. I don't know, you know, I'll, you know, save it for our guests. You know, I won't talk too much about that, but it's become one of my favorite questions on the show is how are you using technology, you know, or
right.
what kind of impact has technology had on your franchise? And you can see a lot of franchisers are really utilizing technology, so it's kind of interesting. So
yeah,
I know
definitely.
What we have going on today. What do we have going on over the next week and I guess going into January? Next
well,
week,
next
last
week,
show
December
of the
18th. Yeah. Well, yeah, last year of the show, Cousin Subs. I guess they opened their first location in Milwaukee in 1972.
Wow.
So hear all about them. It's very interesting. They're out in the Midwest. And then on January 7th, first show of the new year, franchise called Superior Wash. It's a national 24-hour mobile fleet washing company.
That's great.
And they represent some pretty big companies, and you know, so we're looking forward to that, too.
All right, good. Good. Well, I had an interesting article this week, Don. It's from The Nation, and the article is by, I don't see an author here, but again, it's from The Nation, website address nationmultimedia.com, and it's called Retailing.
Yeah.
Customer insights are crucial. The theme of the article is that franchisees really need to keep their eyes open and listen to the customer. You and I have mentioned over the last 2 years, I mean, some of the greatest ideas have come from franchisees, you know, so it's really important that the franchisee keep their eye open. Even though they are buying into a system and they may not have to think as hard, they still need to keep their ears and eyes open. So just a couple things
yeah.
here. It says, even the friendliest corner shop needs the latest in technology to predict sales, says CP, All Managing Director. It says, Piwat Tisat Vokal, it's a pretty big name, doesn't have any intention of competing with the meteorological department, but since his 7-Eleven convenience stores plan to offer baked goods soon, he believes the retail giant will need to have the capability to forecast customers' needs and also when will it rain. The managing director of CP All, which owns the master franchise to run 7-Eleven stores in Thailand, says retailers have to be customer-centric, I like that word, and capable of using input from consumers to shape their businesses. Retailers have to be observant of their customers' behavior, which varies depending on many factors such as age and also such as lifestyle. That makes a lot of sense. And even the same consumer 7-Eleven has found have different needs at different times. So this is, for example, you must be very observant. For instance, in the morning, customers only want sandwiches and drinks at 7-Eleven. You need to stock enough of the goods they want, Piwat said. Quite often, retailers run short of favorite goods but overstock the less popular items. They instead should put more than enough quantities to hot-selling items on the shelves, he said. Piwat said it might be necessary even for small retailers to have affordable software to enable them to gain customer insights. For a retailer like 7-Eleven, which is shifting more towards selling food, business intelligence is definitely crucial, since food, despite its higher margin of 30 to 40% versus 8 to 11% for groceries, has a limited shelf life, he said. So, the article goes on and on. It's a pretty long article. But basically, you know, that you should really keep your eyes and ears open as a franchisee. 7-Eleven Entrepreneur recently voted them as the number one top franchise opportunity, I guess, in the United States from their top 500. So that's pretty amazing. I mean, you and I have been customers of 7-Eleven. We've seen it our whole lives, you know. So, and I know internationally they're just exploding. So it's just interesting watching 7-Eleven. I think I'd like to have them on the show in 2009.
Definitely. Yeah, I'd love to have them on.
That's an interesting topic. So.
Interesting article, yeah, technology and paying close attention to customer trends.
Absolutely.
To maximize profit, yeah, interesting.
I know you had some interesting articles this week as well.
Yeah, here's something, Marty. The IFA puts out a Smart Brief online newsletter. It's pretty good. Been looking at it for a few years. And this is something written by the editor, Megan Cunniff, lead editor for the Smart Brief. It says, all eyes will be on the economy in 2009 as business owners and consumers alike brace to see if the current downturn continues. Although credit may be more difficult to secure, many new franchise concepts may gain traction in the market during the next year. The franchise systems that may experience the most growth tend to be ones that are necessity-oriented, including home repairs, financial services, and health-oriented businesses. In 2009, small businesses will also tackle sustainability issues, which are on the forefront of many consumers' minds. Additionally, franchises will be focused on using creative marketing to entice wary consumers and international expansion to explore new opportunities. And I guess they polled some people in the industry, business owners. What trends do you foresee in the 2009 franchise industry?
Mm-hmm.
Said over 44% said difficulty with the credit market.
Wow.
And almost 33% said creative marketing. So these are trends that they foresee for 2009. More international expansion is about 12%.
Right.
Focus on environmental sustainability is about 10.4%. What kinds of franchises will proliferate in 2009? Over 36% are home-based franchises.
Wow.
I think we spoke to some consultants who that's kind of the trend in a tougher economy. People might invest in lower investment size franchises. So that's what they're saying here. Over 36% home-based franchises, almost 29% senior and child care franchises. Very popular. We've been talking about that for a couple years now. Yeah. It says here business service franchises over 18%. Environmental services franchises over 10%. And janitorial and home improvement franchises, about 7%. What was the biggest issue your company faced in 2008? I guess the biggest answer, Marty, was the overall economy at 37%.
Right.
Lack of business and customers was 30%. Funding and credit concerns, about 28%. International expansion, about 4%.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty interesting numbers.
That is interesting, yeah.
Predictions for next year, what were the biggest issues for 2008? She also interviewed Matthew Shea, president and CEO of the International Franchise Association. And they asked him what
types
of
I'd like to have him on the show too, Don. You know, it's in 2009, absolutely.
Oh, definitely. I think that's should be a priority. What types of franchises will achieve the most growth in 2009, they ask them. During challenging economic times, necessity-oriented companies tend to experience more growth than others. Types of franchises that have traditionally provided value and security for consumers during a down market include auto repair, value dining, employment services, which was interesting for improved our show last week we had.
Right. Absolutely.
Also financial services and health services. Next question, what kind of effect will the current economic climate have on franchising and small businesses? He answers, when companies are downsizing during similar economic situations, it's our experience that people who are concerned about their continued employment look for alternative livelihoods where they feel they have more control over their destinies. Franchising is a leading alternative. Based on historical data, we expect that franchising will continue to grow, but possibly at a little slower rate. What will the greatest challenge for franchise companies be in the coming year? He says the greatest challenge, Marty, facing franchise systems will be identifying financing options to continue growth and expansion. That's my business. I guess that's good news a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Concern.
It is good news.
Yeah. Since we are faced with a significant credit crunch, it becomes more difficult for franchisee candidates to access lines of credit to purchase and open their establishments and harder for existing franchisees to get loans for important business operations and improvements. Next question, what legislative issues should franchises be aware of in 2009? The key legislative issues that concern franchise companies in 2009 will be labor union organizing initiatives, health insurance, tax increases, and immigration reform. I guess these are always pretty much concerns in the last few years, just not 2009.
Right,
IFA and its members are aggressively working to educate the new administration and the new Congress about the impact about policies that could have an effect on small businesses. Last question, how will the outcome of the presidential election affect small businesses? And Matt Shea of the IFA says, based on the campaign platform that President-elect Obama presented, we are concerned that small businesses may bear the brunt of some costly initiatives if enacted, such as increased labor union activity, which will raise the cost of doing business and lead to the elimination of many jobs. Other concerns facing the here's our new president, and we're scared taxes are going to go up and eliminate jobs. Other concerns facing the franchising industry include tax restructuring programs, mandated health care, which could significantly undermine our nation's small business sector. He says that they look forward to working with the new Congress, new administration on policies to make a better society. So
right.
It's pretty interesting.
It is interesting. That's good.
It was an interesting election. I mean,
it sure was.
Now, that's a whole other show to talk about, but here he's saying a new president-elect and all these concerns and worries. I guess with a new president, there's always concerns about change and how that's going to affect your industry.
Oh, absolutely. You remember the uncertainty. I remember all the talk about that. Was it Jill the Plumber? You've seen all the hype about, that whole – but you're right, that's a whole show in itself.
Right. Yeah, I don't want to get into politics. It gets to be depressing and confusing. Here's something more from the Kansas City Star. Franchises look for ways to battle recession and tight credit. This is by Suzanne King. It says, usually around this time of year, ice cream franchisor Cold Stone Creamery calls its franchisees to Las Vegas for a meeting and their convention. But this year, amid sour economic times, the company's executives are touring the country, visiting franchisees on their own turf. The rock band style tour bus will hit 16 cities by January.
Wow, that's interesting.
Sounds like fun. Maybe we can join them.
Do
we know anybody over there, Cold Stone?
I don't. But I'm a big fan, though.
Definitely. The Cold Stone executives who were in Kansas City last month are holding pep rallies, answering franchisees' questions, and unveiling a strategy for braving the recession. People want to know that the team leading the brand cares and is passionate about its success, says Dan Beam, Cold Stone's president. The second thing they want to know is that we have a plan. The country's more than 900,000 franchise businesses are no different than any other enterprises. The economy is hurting on many levels. With sales in almost every sector dipping and a credit market in shambles, the burden is falling to franchisors to shore up existing franchisees and create incentives to sell new outlets. If franchises aren't traveling the country as Cold Stone's executive team is, they are pumping up marketing campaigns and devising creative solutions to the credit crunch or giving new franchisees money-back guarantees. Whether franchisees are doing enough, says Eric Karp, a Boston franchise lawyer, is really the question. Franchisors are like everyone else, he said. I think they're waiting it out for the moment. What I'm urging them to do is to reach out to the franchisee community and start talking about it now. So this is an interesting article how, you have to adapt to the current situation or economy. You can't just sit back. You and I are marketing and advertising guys. You always have to, be on the offense.
Right, you have to think outside the box. I mean, this is definitely something different. You know, I mean, I don't hear, I'm not familiar with a lot of other franchisors doing something like this. You know, and I think it has its advantages and disadvantages. You know, I mean, I like the fact that, yeah, they get to go on location and get to, you know, actually observe what's going on in the franchise itself. I guess one of the disadvantages, Don, is you don't get to interact, I guess, as much with all of the other franchisees. That must be interesting for all the franchisees to kind of like get together, like in one location, and kind of share best practices and things like that. That can still be done, you know. I mean, it's you know, through technology, and I can't remember what franchisors are doing it, but they're using the technology. They're having like webinars and all sorts of things, you know, where the franchisees can network with each other. So you don't necessarily have to be face to face today. So yeah, it is kind of interesting.
If I was a franchisee and the top few guys from the company, including the president, visited, I think that's pretty impressive.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Franchises, which contribute more than $2 trillion to the economy and account for about 21 million jobs, according to the IFA, may be seen as a safer choice because they are known brands and proven concepts. As more corporate jobs are cut, buying a franchise may seem as a viable option for people who are out of work and not yet ready to retire. While business advisors and franchisers say they are seeing a rise in interest, tight credit markets make it difficult for many potential owners to buy a franchise. That's where the rubber's meeting the road right now, says Keith Albright, Senior VP of Franchising for Gold's Gym. For buyers who can come buy alone, the franchising options are vast. Fast food businesses such as McDonald's, Burger King are only part of the story. Franchises are available in many different concepts, from graphic design and printing to business consulting. There's certainly a cost of being part of a franchise, as Mike Cahill was purchased but not yet opened in Allegra Network printing franchise in Kansas City. But there's also a comfort. Just look at selling McDonald's versus John's Hamburgers, Cahill said. There's a strong argument for buying a franchise, added Kay Ainsley, managing director with Michael Side and Associates, a franchise consulting firm. The IFA released a study this year that showed the franchising sector expanding at a faster pace than the U.S. economy. We've given out that stat on past shows as well.
Yeah,
but overall, an interesting article, a little bit about franchising in general and about specifically what this franchise Coldstone is doing.
That's great. And we've had Allegra on our show a long time ago, wasn't it? It was like, God, it must be about a year and a half. So I think it was Daryl Buchanan.
Right. Yeah, and I've been working with them for years. Great franchise. They purchase signs now. They do digital concepts. They, you know, really do great things with their franchisees.
That's fantastic. Those are great articles. Why don't we take a quick break here, Don? And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who wants one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. If you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Well, as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Kevin Drudge, who's the manager of franchise development for the Valpak franchise opportunity. And Valpak is one of the nation's leading direct mail companies, delivering coupons to more than 45 million households in the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. Hey, Kevin. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Don and Marty. How are you?
Good, Kevin. Kevin,
good.
I didn't know, Don, you wanted to say hello and wish Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, happy holidays. Appreciate you coming on the show. My wife and I have been using your product for years.
Excellent.
happy
holidays to you as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks.
Kevin,
we always like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
We're in Largo, Florida.
Oh, good.
So
how's the weather down there today?
It's a little rainy and cold.
Okay.
Yep. Not usual.
It can't be as cold as it is up here in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. You know, it's just pretty bitter up here today. So not so nice. So Florida sounds very good right now. Kevin, what were you doing before joining Valpak?
Actually, I was part owner of a franchise business, a sign company in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Did that for about 3 years. Prior to that, I worked for the corporate entity of the franchisor, Signorama. And then prior to that, I was with Meineke Car Care Centers, which is now one of Driven Brands, for about 8 years.
Oh, fantastic. So you're no stranger to franchising.
Not at all. Not at all. And I enjoy it very much.
That's great.
It's a nice area down in Myrtle Beach, North Carolina.
I live in
Calabash, just right on the south tip of North, so not too far from Myrtle Beach.
Absolutely.
It's a
golfer's paradise.
Yeah, sure.
Right, yeah. So talk about the organization a little bit, Kevin, Valpak.
It's a unique organization. We're obviously a franchise company. We've been in business for 40 years. This year is actually our 40th anniversary.
Wow.
A lot of people aren't aware that we've been around that long. But it's a unique type of structure in that it's not a typical franchise from the standpoint we're not royalty-based, so there aren't any ongoing fees that are paid to us. Essentially, we're a printer. You know, we handle all the printing, all the mailing, all the distribution of our products. We also handle all the graphics, meaning ad-proofing, layout, and design. So basically, our franchisees, I like to say, are establishing sales organizations within a defined market. So basically, we're looking for sales-oriented individuals that will go in and in new markets, start up selling Valpak. They basically offer products and services to local business owners and then deal with them in terms of the artwork, getting the direction, and then they deal with them on the back end in terms of client renewals and managing the relationships on an ongoing basis. So it's unique from the standpoint of our cut. We also, we sell national advertising, so we sell along with our franchisees, providing them benefit from that. But then they sell directly, so we're obviously providing products to the end user. We're dealing with local businesses and helping them grow their businesses. And that's a joint effort. So it's very much a family-oriented environment here where our customers are our franchisees, and obviously we're both servicing the end customer, which is local businesses, regional and national businesses as well.
Yeah, that is interesting, Marty. I think this might be our first franchise system where there's
that.
No royalties.
Right,
yeah.
Absolutely. I was thinking that.
There
the economy,
aren't
too.
There.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, Kevin, Don and I were saying earlier in the show that the economy being the way it is, I mean, you guys really have a great service. I think that the consumers, who are receiving, your coupons, I mean, appreciate them probably now more than ever, would you say?
Absolutely. This is one of the first years in several years where coupon redemption or the use of couponing is actually up. It's been slowly declining, but it's taken a big turn, and obviously people are more cost conscious and looking for deals and looking for good bargains, and that's where this product fits in.
Oh, absolutely.
I think it's interesting because you're not only helping the franchisee to be profitable and grow a business, but that consumer is using the coupon, saving money, and then the local business where they're using it at. So
right, that's what I was
absolutely.
Thinking.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a preconceived notion a lot of times, especially with local businesses, that during tough times they just don't have the money to advertise. But what
right.
they're not realizing is that this is the time where they most need to be advertising. So
I agree.
It's trying to get people to be aware of that, and obviously that helps our business tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when did the company actually start franchising? I know you're celebrating your 40th birthday for the company, Kevin. But you know, what happened in the early years, and how did franchising come about?
It actually the company was started back in 1968 by a gentleman named Terry Label. He had a dream that this was possible. No one was doing it. It actually was started here in Clearwater, Florida, which is just around the corner from us. And he decided to try mailing 20,000 homes here, borrowed $500 to pay the postage for the mailing and stuffed the envelopes in the living room of his house. And obviously it worked. We were selling distributorships up until about 77. And then in the late 70s, I believe, is when we began actually franchising. So they were awarding territories, large territories, for areas, you know, for people to develop, and then decided to go the franchising route sometime in the late 70s. But obviously they did a good job, and we've done it right. We currently have about 200 franchises, and we're pretty much sold out in every major metropolitan city throughout the U.S. So obviously we circulate about 500 million homes with about 20 billion coupons a year. And obviously, second, there's no one else in our industry that's even close to the circulation that we provide. So helps us with national advertisers, giving them a broad reach where they can reach all across the country, U.S., even into Canada. So
that's great.
Must be a nice feeling knowing you're part. I was just going to say, Mario, must be nice knowing you're part of an industry leader like that.
It is, you know, and we've been that way. What a lot of people don't realize is that Valpak actually pioneered, Terry Label pioneered, the cooperative direct mail industry. So we were the first in our space and remain the leader today. So it's amazing. After 40 years in business, one of the things that we just did was over the last 3 or 4 years, we concepted a brand new state-of-the-art printing facility, which we call the Valpak Manufacturing Center, but it's 500,000 square feet, 10 acres under one roof, and basically we've more than doubled our capacity in terms of what we can print. So it's almost like a rebirth, having a brand new state-of-the-art facility. What's amazing about it is that it gives us the ability to print in quantities of 10,000. Which makes us one of the most efficient short-run printers in the world.
That's amazing. I was going to say, it seems like
easy
sale,
too. Is the founder still around today?
He is, actually. We have an annual sales convention for the entire network, which is our largest event every year. It's called Coupon U, and we get about 1,300 people that attend from the 200 franchises. And he actually came in and spoke at Coupon U this past year, and talked about how amazed he is at how the company's grown, obviously.
I was just going to say.
since he's been involved.
It's great that he can see the growth and that manufacturing center.
He was blown away
by people
that
come. Yeah, definitely.
He still lives here in Florida. So.
Oh, he does? Okay.
Yeah, he's still here local in the area, does some real estate things and so forth. So.
That's something. I was going to say earlier, Kevin, that it seems like it's a fairly easy sale, you know, not to downplay it, but, you know, I know that, I mean, if you look at the average, like, lifetime worth of a customer, you know, I know the pizza place that we go to, it's in Easton, Pennsylvania, we received one of the coupons in Valpak, you know, and we constantly go to that pizza place now, you know, we're a lifetime customer, you know, so.
Absolutely.
You know, you kind of just justify it in those terms, you know, if you look at the lifetime worth of just one customer. It really seems like a fairly easy sale. It's not a hard sale, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's something all businesses need.
Right.
I'm sure if you asked our franchisees, they would say they wished it was a lot easier.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Advertising sales obviously is very competitive. Everybody's competing for the same piece of the pie, or at least a piece of the pie. So we compete with not only other direct mail companies, we compete with magazine formats, and then we compete with other traditional forms of media as well, newspaper, radio, TV, cable, billboards, you know, the whole nine yards. So it's a consultative sale. You know, you're looking to build relationships with people over a long period of time and be able to offer them advertising solutions to help them grow their business and service them over a long period. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the value of the customers, and there's not a better way out there to gain new clientele than, you know, to direct mail. And it's a response-driven media where they're actually, you know, it's driving them to their home. It's not general brand awareness.
Right,
obviously,
right.
Obviously, you mentioned pizza. That's one of the top categories just because of the frequency of use. And all dining is like that. We have a top 20 category list that we provide that, you know, do very well. But there's over 100 different categories of businesses that do well with us too. But the key with any direct mail program is frequency. You can't
right.
do it once, you know, to just one zone, try it out and see if it works. It's something where you've got to do it consistently so consumers see it, and that's what prompts them to look through it, you know, and wait for that, expect that coupon every month. And that's the way the business kind of works. It's definitely it's not just brand awareness, and that's what people like. It's measurable, it's trackable,
right.
everything, and that helps tremendously for the local business owner to justify what they're spending their money on.
I've been in business, Kevin, 18 years with three different businesses. I owned a food business briefly. What worked best, and even with my business now, which is franchise financing nationwide, what's always been the most effective is direct mail, coupons and postcards.
Okay.
And what's nice about the franchisee who owns a ValPak is that most business is small business. You know, your contractor, your pizzeria, they just have a lot of potential clients out there. You're right, you know, a lot of competition, but coupons have a high success rate. So
I
guess that's why ValPak overall has been successful with your growth in the last, 20-plus years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we place a lot of emphasis on training and support. We do a lot of market research, even to the point where we do retinal scanning on people to see how they view the coupons when they pull it out of the envelope, see what draws them to it, and develop best practices in terms of layout and design. We've got online tools, sales aids, presentation builders, all kinds of street sheets touting the different industries and how much business we do with them. And there's case studies, all kinds of things to really help them get out there and educate local businesses on what we're all about and how it works, how good it can work for them. And then, you know, a lot of it depends on, in terms of the success of the advertising effort, is related to how you sell it. And if you sell it to the, you know, sell it to the right type of business, and you sell them the right package in terms of the number of, you know, the offers that are in there, the right frequency, the right number of times that they're mailing, it helps tremendously in the success of what they're trying to do. And that's one of the things that we train on and that we emphasize to our franchisees and help them to better understand, and that's why we do all the research, is to gain that knowledge so that they can, you know, put together the right package for the right business.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, because a small business owner really doesn't know either, Kevin, you know, as far as like how to create their own coupon. I can't imagine what it would say on it, but your franchisees are more playing more the role of like consultants, you know. They know what works best, you know. So
absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. That was my next question too, is what role has technology played in your business today, Kevin? I imagine it's a big difference today versus 40 years ago.
It is. Obviously, we still have franchisees that have been with our network, you know, 30 years that are still
wow.
in business today. And obviously, things have changed dramatically. You know, I'd probably say technology, the biggest thing that's impacted us is obviously we have ValPak.com, which we rolled
yeah.
out in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't realize we've had an online presence for that long. And that program continues to get stronger and stronger. And then, you know, aside from the online portion of our business, we also have the new manufacturing center. There's nothing like it in the world. We didn't take any piece of equipment out of the old facilities to put into the new one. Everything was developed and designed over in Europe and Asia specifically for our business product, our business process.
Right.
So, but we utilize technology. We've got we're continually rolling out everything that we have. We have an intranet site which houses what we call Inside ValPak, which is all the sales tools, research tools, and then we have an online business proprietary business system, which helps you run everything. It's add order entry, it's reporting. accounts receivable tracking, all that. And that's called VP Office. It's a proprietary system we built that helps run everything. So, you know, we're very much in tune with technological advances, and we've got call tracking available with our franchisees now, where we can actually track how ads are being, how many calls are coming in from specific advertising that's done. We've got online this year, and this isn't new technology, but we rolled out an online distance learning platform, which enables our franchisees and the people they employ to take online training 24/7. And we have a lot of training out there in terms of initial sales training, ongoing leadership training. So there's a lot of different things, and that's continually being expanded as well.
Yeah, I guess one of the biggest things, Kevin, with technology is speed of putting the coupon package together, getting it out to the customer. I guess that's such a big advantage for the franchisee.
It really is.
What's about the average time frame once they finish a particular period and have all their sales in, submitted to Valpak Corporate? What's that time frame that those coupons are in the consumer's hands?
It's amazing. In the old process for the other facilities that we printed out of until July of last year, it was about 4 days from start to finish, the overall process. In today's environment, out of the new facility, it's 4 hours.
Wow.
So,
it really is
4 hours. I thought your answer was going to be a couple of days, but 4 hours. Wow.
It'll take a couple of days to get it to the consumers, but we can print it very efficiently. So, but a lot of that is utilizing the technology. It's one of the other things that we're in the process of rolling out right now is a product called My Design Center. And what that is, it's an online ad, kind of a database, so to speak, and there'll be templated ads out there for every category of business. But then it will also hold all the past ads that have ran for advertisers for the local franchisee. And it's for them to manage that so they can make simple changes to artwork directly through that system without having to go through our graphic designers. They consistently do well over 100,000 ads a year, I believe, on behalf of the franchisees, but this enables them to streamline those efforts. They can email proofs directly to clients right out of the system, get clients to sign in and sign off on the proofs and so forth. So we're continually making those advances to try and streamline the efforts of our franchisees, because obviously they deal with a lot in managing the business on an ongoing basis and also in doing the sales and everything else that's involved with what they do.
That's interesting. I mean, the website's fantastic, too, Kevin. I know we use the website. I was unaware that Valpak.com was around since 1994. I mean, that's a long time, so like, it shows you guys are very innovative. You know, but what I like about using the website is you can look for things by category. You know,
absolutely.
I think it makes it very simple. So is it part of the package that small businesses get, or is it an additional part of the package to go
typically
on the website?
It can be both.
Okay.
Yeah, you can advertise online without being in the envelope. A lot of our franchisees offer it as a package. We have different types of listings on Valpak.com, so most of the time you see our franchisees offering a free basic coupon on Valpak.com, with advertising in the envelope, and then they have the ability for a specific category of business. They can do premium coupons, banner placements, business profile pages, which are like mini websites, things like that. So there's a variety of products that they can offer, but obviously the more people we have online, the more valuable that that online presence is. So it's amazing. On online, I think today we get over, it's 20 million unique visitors a month going to
wow.
the site. So it's widely used, and it's becoming larger and larger. We've partnered with companies like Google Maps, and some other search engines to put together partnerships where, for example, on Google, if somebody goes to Google Maps and looks for a business in a local area and that business is listed on Valpak.com, our coupons appear on Google's website right there on the mapping page. So it draws more readership, gets more views, and helps increase traffic dramatically. And those partnerships are something that we're always looking at and trying to gain more. They're not exclusive, so we have the ability to try and go out and get those and do as much of it as possible.
So the consumer doesn't have to get the coupon hard copy in the mail. They can go online and print out a coupon, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And the nice thing about it, you know, it's measurable, trackable.
Mm-hmm.
We provide our franchisees with reporting every month. They can get it for each client that's listed there and show them exactly how many people viewed their ad, how many people actually clicked through to a menu page, how many people printed coupons off. Then obviously the local business owner has to deal with, you know, taking them in and telling them how well it worked. So, but the nice thing is you can show them, because a lot of times people will print the offers. Sometimes they forget to bring it into the establishment or what have you. So it's nice to have that reporting to show, you know, justification of what those efforts are getting them.
All stuff probably the founder wasn't thinking about in his den in 1968, right?
Probably not.
I can't imagine. It's something. I mean, this industry is pretty big. Are there any numbers on the industry, Kevin, as far as like what kind of industry we're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, the industry as a whole in 2007 was about $173 billion in terms of direct marketing expenditures. In terms of the number of what's fascinating is that there's approximately a little over 1.5 million direct marketing employees out there in the U.S. today. And in 2007, those efforts accounted for it was a little over 10% of the U.S. gross domestic product. So it's a large industry. It encompasses a lot of different things within it. But it's obviously a lot of spending spending in it. So
absolutely.
And there's such a high amount of people have home-based businesses. That's another segment of people who might want to advertise with Valpak. So
yeah, absolutely.
A lot of potential customers. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just a retail, retail service. It's
driven. It's contractors and
exactly
service
a lot of your a lot of your home improvement categories are home based or a mom and pop type of operation where they're basically working out of their car, automotive, refinishing,
right.
All types of things. So
yeah,
that's the nice thing is that you're not limited to a specific segment. In terms of who you can target or who you can reach out to try and gain, in terms of customers and sales.
Right.
It's a wide array of people that you can offer the products and services to.
What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you, Kevin, since joining Valpak?
I think seeing the most interesting really is the fact that it's a very close-knit group of people, and I think right now, obviously, in the current economy and the state of where we are with everything, seeing how the company's holding together, obviously, we're still plugging away. We're poised for growth. We're looking for growth, and ultimately, our franchisees are a direct result of that. Like I mentioned earlier, we only have 200 franchises, and we've never had, we'll never have in the U.S. more than probably 275 or 300, just based on the minimum criteria we need in order to award a franchise somewhere. So
you
it's always going to be.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, Kevin, it seems like you really gave your franchisees opportunity for expansion by buying additional territories, it seems. That was
absolutely
the game plan early on, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great way. Once franchisees develop success, we welcome expansion within the network. Our franchisee of the year last year started out with Kansas City. He owns St. Louis. He owns Austin, Texas. He purchased San Diego. Earlier this year, he purchased Sacramento and the Gold Country franchise just west of Lake Tahoe. So there's no restraints in terms of the growth and development. Obviously, the people that can show they can do this business successfully, we welcome it. And we've had a lot of franchisees expand their business, and that's something that is not easy. Obviously, with this type of business, salespeople have to be managed, and you've constantly got to be involved. But if you get the right personnel in place, it's definitely a possibility.
Right. What types of characteristics do you look for in a franchisee?
Given that it's a sales-driven business, we look for people that are sales-oriented, people that have the ability to cold call and have a strong sales background, sales management. We're looking for people that have the ability to hire and train salespeople. They need to be able to walk into a business, talk with a business owner, and feel comfortable in doing so. So, you know, in terms of that, it's the ability to prospect. You've got to be good on the phone. We do a lot of telemarketing to set appointments with people. And they've got to be good at listening, not always talking, questioning, presentation skills. They got to be able to overcome objections, you know, and be able to close. But it takes a lot of organization. So ultimately, you know, that's the candidate. There's not a better opportunity out there, in my opinion, for somebody who's sales-oriented, loves selling, and wants to own their own marketing business.
That's interesting. What's the training like, Kevin, for your new franchisees?
We offer comprehensive training. There's 2 weeks essentially here in Largo that are separate. One's a week of sales training. That's preceded with 2 weeks of online distance learning. And then there's another week, which is for new franchise owner training. We actually do a second round of owner training in a group setting after they've been in business for a year to go over expanded topics.
I think it's great to go back, you know, I mean, a year later, you know, and because new issues may come up, of course, you know, so I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been very well received. You know, one of the things that we do that's unique with that training effort is we actually poll the people that are going to be involved in it and ask them a series of questions about how their business is and what things they currently are lacking or may not be as strong at. And we designed the curriculum that we go over with them, and it's highly interactive, but based on their feedback. So we're dealing with issues that are directly impacting them today. So that training is always different. But in the group setting, it allows them to get together with other people of about the same tenure and really network, find out what other people are doing that may give them ideas and so forth. So it's a lot of group. We bring in a panel of the experts, and which are successful franchisees, to talk to them about what they faced. And so it's really a great effort. The other training that we offer Valpak, our VP office system, you know, proprietary software system training. We've got a support organization of close to 40 people to work with and support 200 franchises, which it's regionalized. We've got four regions throughout the country, and there's financial, operational, and back office support personnel for each of the regions. But the nice thing is Valpak, you know, we're not a heavy-handed, authoritative-type franchisor that tells you what you have to do. You know, I like to say we've got about 200 franchises out there and about 170 different ways of doing this business. And that's simply because everybody has different strong suits. The franchise itself, in terms of how you structure it, varies tremendously by the overall market size that they own. Our smaller franchises, which start anywhere from about 30,000 homes up to 80,000 homes that they're mailing, are what we call our micro markets. They're typically owner-operated. They can be home-based. You don't have to rent or lease office space. And then as the market size increases, you go to an office, you have more salespeople. Up to, you know, our largest market in the country is Los Angeles. It's one franchise. It's one of our company-owned and operated locations. But they have five regional offices, about 100 employees, you know, 70 of which are sales reps. So it's a much larger organization. So it's, you know, it does vary.
That's great.
I imagine that Valpak corporate, sometimes we'll get a national account, help the franchisees maybe. I mean, that's something that I guess you're always doing as well.
Yes, absolutely. And in the past, you know, we typically on average have been selling about, you know, $80 million a year in national advertising. And what we do is, how it works essentially is we pay our franchisees a portion of that when we place the advertising in their market to compensate them for carrying the pieces. And no one else does that. So a lot of our franchisees receive passive income from the national advertising efforts that we do, which really benefit them tremendously. And no one else in our industry offers that. And I think a lot of it is a result of, and our success with that is simply because of the footprint, you know, that of what we mail throughout the country.
And you guys have
I brought it up, right?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I said it's a good thing I brought it up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kevin, I think one of the advantages, too, is that you guys have strong name recognition. You know, I mean, I don't think there's anyone who is unfamiliar with Valpak. You know, so, again, I think it does make it easier to sell the product as well. You know, I can't imagine somebody walking in saying, I'm from Valpak, and saying, you know, what's that? You know, I mean.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's, and having that history.
Well, yeah, like a good example, Marty, is when I had my food business, I contacted Valpak, local Valpak office, say, hey, I want to get a coupon in there. So
right.
That's,
well,
the benefit
of things you think of.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Name recognition.
And, you know, a lot of that stems from the amount of national advertising we do on the franchisee's mm-hmm. behalf. This is another way that we're different than a lot of franchise companies in that we don't charge an advertising fee either. So we place on average about $10 million in national advertising on behalf of our franchisees. And a lot of that ties in with, you may or may not have seen on the outside of the envelope, every month we have a different promotion that runs. And we have a group here, mm-hmm. National Promotions, that sets up those partnerships. But we partner with Disney, Paramount Pictures, Warner Brothers, CBS Television, and every HGTV, The Ellen Show, Martha Stewart. There's a lot of different partnerships that we run on an annual basis, and each month there's a different promotion. And what that does, it draws readership to the envelope. And franchisees have the ability to sell into some of the promotions to tie it in with, you know, specific types of advertising. If it's HGTV is the promotion, they can get a home improvement guy on some of the pieces on, you know, from time to time, depending on what the promotion is. But all of those efforts, I think, have really helped us brand our product to where we are a household name. You know, we've got probably, I'd say, close to 90% brand awareness throughout the country. So the nice thing is, even for franchisees that start our new markets, there is some awareness of what the product is, even though it hasn't been mailed there, because they get
right.
the benefit of seeing the national TV. And a lot of times, you know, back in the day, there may be markets where we have had franchisees and it simply hasn't been serviced in quite a long time. So going back into those markets, people are still familiar with it, you know, remember that it worked and so forth.
That's great. Kevin, we have about 1 minute. What's the best way for someone to get more information on becoming a Valpak franchisee?
Basically, we have a separate franchising website. It's valpakfranchising.com.
Okay.
Other than that, they can go to valpak.com and click on the link that says franchise information.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Kevin, and wish you a happy holidays. You've been a fantastic guest, and we'd like to have you back in 2009 as well.
I appreciate it. Happy holidays.
Thank you,
and
Kevin.
Thank you for having me as well.
Thanks, Kevin. Have
a great
day.
Happy holidays.
You too.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, interesting.
This is the first time we've had this concept, you know. But again,
right.
I was thinking, you know, the brand awareness really occurred to me. You know, I said, God, there can't be anyone on the planet who doesn't know Valpak, you know.
Right. Interesting. I learned something new. I guess he's kind of right. They're really like a printing company.
If you think about it, you know, selling the franchise itself, you know, no royalties, which again, I think that's
right.
the first in 2 years. No advertising fee as well.
Right.
You know, so
yeah.
A lot of advantages to getting into their franchise system. You know, I just, I'm a big fan of their franchise. So,
right.
Great show. So next week we have, Cousin Subs to
yes.
kind of wrap up the year for 2008.
Right.
And we have a bunch of shows scheduled for 2009.
Looking forward to it, Marty. Good job today.
Good job, Don, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.